Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of The Athlete's Church. My name is Daryl Hikes and I'll be your host for the next 29 minutes and 50 seconds. So let's pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that you speak through my vocal cords, that you think through my mind. I thank you that it's all of you and none of me. And I thank you that as your word and the testimonies and the information goes out, that it falls upon hearts of people that are ready to receive, and it can make a mark in their lives that can never, ever, ever be erased. And I thank you for the opportunity of being able to share my story from the position of being interviewed by myself, you know, me interviewing myself. And so I just appreciate you giving me the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of how to do this, and how it, when it goes out, that it just blesses people, because that's the entire reason you created us, you created me, is to be a blessing to the people of this planet. So it's in Jesus' name that I pray. And if you heard that prayer and you agree with that prayer, then just say amen. Well, folks, this is going to be a very interesting show. I'm looking forward to it. It's a different kind of show for me because I'm going to interview myself so that you can get to know more about me and, you know, understand thinking process and, you know, my life growing up. And because a lot of times with people, you hear bits and pieces and you have to put it together instead of hearing it. You know, of course, you may not get everything up front, all information, because some information needs to be kept private and discreet, and some information is okay to share as long as it's going to benefit and help someone. Because a lot of times we find ourselves in situations that other people have been in and we can identify with it. And that's how, as far as ministry and just relationship period, that's how relationships are built. You know, we have something in common. There's something that you've done or did or are doing that I can, wow, I didn't know that. Okay, so how did you get out of this situation? Well, what'd you do in this situation? You know, or you may hear my voice and, you know, you really don't know much about me. So I just decided to, since I've been doing the Athlete's Church for, you know, I've done maybe 8 episodes. It's as an athlete, I get to do an episode about me. So let's do a quick bio because we've already prayed. And I'm going to, it's going to sound, I'm not going to say weird, but you're going to hear me ask myself questions, if that makes sense. So it should be a lot of, fun. Daryl Hikes, you were born in the town of Oklahoma, Mississippi, which is, he was born in the town of Oklahoma, Mississippi, population of about 3,056 people. He's lived on 5 different Air Force bases, lived in Germany from 80 to 83, and it says here that you believe you were living there during the time that Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, lived there also, and we'll find out later in the program if you actually played against Shaq. And if you did, how did it go? Played on the first high school basketball team to qualify for the state playoffs, which was Oklahoma High School. Led your conference in scoring as a freshman in high school, averaging 25 points a game. You made 9 three-pointers in a game during your senior year. You won the junior college intramural championships at Itawamba Community College and the three-point contest while at Itawamba Community College. It says here you won 2 base championships while in the Air Force at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Now, this is interesting. Can dunk on a 10-foot rim after stretching and warming up. Now, that sounds like a lot of people out there. The key point, I guess, for you being in stretching and warming up, you have 3 adult children, 1 from a previous marriage and 2 from... It says here you're this final marriage. Okay, I like that. Interesting. Says traveling evangelist, which, okay, we'll discuss that too. Owner, president, and CEO of Team America Titans. You love people and you like basketball. All right, we'll get into that another time. First question, describe how you knew you wanted to play basketball. Oh, wow. Well, let's see. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. How did I know I wanted to play basketball? I don't think you really know that you want to play basketball. It's something that's introduced to you, and you either go with it or you don't. But I guess the easiest way for me to put it would be, or to answer your question, my dad was very influential in introducing me to basketball. Probably when I was around 3, maybe 4 years old, he used to take me and my brother and I out to these basketball courts. It was called the Okolona College, and what they had was they had open court out there where guys and ladies too would just go play. And my dad would take me out there, and they had this they had a seesaw out there, they had a merry-go-round, and they had like a play area for kids. So when he was playing, we would be over there playing in the play area. So I used to love going out there because we didn't have a play area with my grandfather. Because in Okolona, growing up, we would oftentimes we would be around my grandfather, my dad's dad, and my dad's mom. We would be over there a lot, and it just wasn't a lot of stuff to do for kids. You know, I mean, there was the backyard where my grandfather would sit up under this tree and nod off all the time. But so I identified having great times with my dad by going to the court, even though I wasn't playing. And, you know, while I was there, I would, every now and then, I'd look over and, you know, watch him play. So his love for the game led to me developing a love for the game. Now, my brother, he's a great basketball player. He's probably, honestly, and he may or may not be listening to this, but he's a better basketball player than I am. I just happened to be athletic about it, and I had a lot of passion because, you know, the game just came easy to me. And I'm reminded of the story of Michael Jordan. No way am I comparing myself to Michael Jordan or anything like that. But he would often talk about his older brother just, you know, doing things that caused him to get better. And that's how my older brother Keith is, to where, you know, he backed me down because he was heavier than, well, he had more weight on him than I did. And he knew there were certain things that I couldn't stop him from doing. So that caused me to make my game better. And actually, he went out, I think his senior year, he went out for the basketball team or high school basketball team tryouts, and he didn't make the team. So he decided to be a bookkeeper. He decided to keep the books, which I don't know if that was something that he and my mom agreed on, to where, okay, now you can go keep up with your brother. Because in high school, I was a social guy. I was, you know, if there was a party going on, I was there. I like to have fun. I like to be around people. And so But I was, you know, as far as getting in trouble, I wouldn't say, I'll put it like this. I did a lot of stuff and I had a lot of fun. Okay. So I'll just leave it at that. But to answer the question, I don't think I really, when you, it's kind of difficult to describe that you knew you wanted to play. I think you get introduced to things, and then as a result, you find out whether or not that's something that you want to pursue. Because I played baseball. I ran track. I can play volleyball. I probably can play hockey, you know, if, you know, I just don't like the skates and it's cold on the hockey. It's just cold. So, but I think that's the case, the way you get introduced to something and then you decide if that's something that you want to pursue. Okay, great answer. Second thing. Tell us what transpired that led you to put your faith in Christ, because it says here you're a traveling evangelist. So I'm thinking you're a traveling evangelist when it comes to you're talking about Christianity, because I'm not saying other religions don't necessarily have traveling evangelists, but I know Christianity has it. So tell us what happened, you know, what transpired that led you to put your faith in Christ. What transpired? I'll tell you a story, and then out of that story, maybe you can kind of, maybe not kind of, but you can find out what happened. I was in the Air Force. Well, I always grew up going to church. Not me personally, when I say grew up going to church, but my mom, she made sure that my brother and I went to church because she grew up in church. And so she just always took us to church, whether we were in Oklahoma, Mississippi, whether we were living in Germany, whether we were in Louisiana, wherever we were living, we found a church, a Baptist church, and we went to church. And so I always was around church, and I was around people talking about the Bible, and I was around, I don't want to say religion, but I was around it. So it was something that was sown in me. My grandfather, my dad's dad, he was a deacon at the church, and then my grandmother would go to church with him. It was so funny because my grandfather, he'd be ready to go, and my grandmother would still be getting ready. And one morning, my grandfather was in his car, and my grandmother was still, she was about 9/10 of the way dressed, and she got in the car, and the door was still open, and my grandfather's backed out of the driveway. So you see this lady's leg hanging out the car with the stocking almost pulled up and the door open. And it was somewhat hilarious, but at the same time, it was like somewhat dangerous too. So, you know, I grew up with stories related to church and related to the things of God. And you know, so what happens is, I'm in the Air Force. I'm an adult now. I'm a grown man. I can make my own decisions. If I want to go to church, I go. If I don't, I don't have to go. And what happened is, when I reached a certain age, my mom, I wouldn't say she gave us the choice whether or not to go to church, but it was already in me. And when I was 16, I told a cousin of mine who lives in New York, my cousin Rogers, I told her that I believe I'm supposed to be a minister. And then when I was 19, I told her again, I believe I'm supposed to be a minister. And my high school, when I was a high school senior, we graduating, what they do is, in the church I used to attend, they would announce all of the seniors, and they would have you, if you want to stand up and talk, they would let you talk. So I stood up and actually said, you know what, I just want to thank God for what he's done in my life, and I want to thank God for how good he's been to me. And I had no idea why I was saying it or what it meant at the time. I just stood up and said it. And I wasn't one of those that stood up and publicly speak. That just wasn't how I was designed. I mean, I'm not going to say how I was designed, but I just, that was new for me. That was different. It was almost like where Peter, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then everybody kind of looked around like, where did it come from? Where was, I had one of those moments. So, okay, so I'm going through life. I'm playing basketball. I'm at Itawamba Community College. It was Itawamba Junior College at the time. It's now Itawamba Community College. So I went to college for a year, just goofed off, didn't focus, just wasn't committed. So then I decided I'm not going back to college, but I was working. And so I was working at a furniture manufacturing plant. Then I got laid off after 6 months. And so I'm unemployed for 6 months. Things just are not going good in my life at this point. So I decided, you know what, I got to do something in my life. And I decided to join the Air Force. So I joined the Air Force. And when I got in the Air Force, growing up, I watched my dad play, but I didn't know the level of competition in the United States military. And I'm quite sure it's that way in other military, you know, non-U.S. militaries. Or other U.S. or other militaries all over the world. I didn't know the level of competition was just that good. And so as a result, my game just got better because I still had the passion and still had the drive, but now I'm playing against a lot better competition. So I get to my first base, my only base, really, Davis Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona. And the first year we're playing, and I get there, almost the season is almost probably kind of started. So we didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, these are intramural games. What that means is your squadron, you have tryouts, and then guys come and they play against other squadrons. Like, I was in the medical field, so the medical field plays against the guys in supply who supply the stuff for the planes. Then you have enlisted, and you have officers. And so as a result, you have all these different squadrons. You might have like 12 different squadrons on a base. Administration, you got finance, you got medical, you got transportation, you got all these different squadrons. So as a result, we play against each other. And the first year, it wasn't good. It just wasn't good. Second year, we're pretty good because this other guy comes in and he was from Tennessee. His name was Robert. He could leave off from right inside the free throw and just dunk on everybody. And so I figured, oh, I got some help now. You know, we got to the championship game and I should have given him the ball for the last play, but I didn't. I took the shot myself, didn't make it. We lost. It was tough. But we won it. Oh yeah. Then the following year we lost it. Then my fourth year there, we won it again. And so I was pretty successful at that level. Well, at the end of my fourth year, I'm playing pickup ball because you can play ball. You can play. They're not full court games. What you do is you use the side goals. So it's not like a full court, the 94 foot. You use the side goals, and you have the really competitive end as soon as you walk in. Then on the other end, you have a kind of like people that just want to mess around and goof off, which is fine. You know, you're just doing it for fun. So this guy, he walks in the gym, and you have to, it's five, you put your name on the board, five against the five, and then the next five, and then the winner stays, and then you play the next five. It's like that. So this guy puts his name on the board, like right under my name or above my name or something like that, and it says Pastor. And I'm thinking, Pastor, who names their kid Pastor? You know, so then I'm thinking, I don't want to play with a church guy because you don't feel comfortable cursing. You don't feel comfortable yelling. You can't just do all that kind of, you can do it, but you just don't feel comfortable doing it. So, but I wanted to play. So I said, well, whatever. So we played. Turns out the guy was actually good. He's a very technical player. He had a good shot. He passed the ball. And I was, after the game, we were just talking and he was like, yeah, you know, man, you're pretty good. He said, what squadron are you in? And I told him, he said, oh, man, my wife is in that same squadron because his wife was an officer. So he told me, he said, his wife is in the medical field, in the medical squadron. So he said, well, you know, I'm going to be on the team this year. You playing this year? I said, yeah, I'm playing this year. And then he said, I also bowl. I said, I bowl too. I was like, okay. I actually won a 9-pin no-tap tournament. And so and my high score was 266. I was rolling that night. And so we immediately, you know, we just kind of clicked and hit it off, you know. And he said, hey, man, I do a Bible study. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Yep, that's why he put Pastor on there. And he invited me. Well, growing up, I was always trained, you be cordial, you be nice to people. You're not rude when it comes to the things of God. So I said, well, I'll see about checking it out. And it just stayed on my mind. And I went. And when I went to the Bible study, I was in awe of how this guy, he knew the Bible. He would open the Bible and he would actually read stuff about Jesus. And that fascinated me because growing up, I mean, and please understand what I'm about to say. I heard a lot of hooping and hollering, and there was some word put out there. There was some scripture put out there, but it never connected with me. This was the first time the word of God actually connected with me. And so I was just in awe, and this guy, he knew how to pray. He would pray, and it seemed like he was serious. He was for real. Like, wow, this is so cool. And I said, I got to give me one of those Bibles because I got to find out, how does he know all that stuff? And so I kept going to the Bible studies and I just kept going and got me a Bible and kept reading and so forth. But one night I was reading the Bible and it was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I laid my head back because I was tired, kind of sleepy. And with my eyes closed, I saw in an open vision, a man on a cross, but the man, he was beaten to where he looked horrible. I mean, and I can only see his face. I didn't see his body, just his face. And his face was just like disfigured and puffy, but he had a crown on his head. And I said to myself, I said, that looks like Jesus. And then I heard a voice say, I did this for you. And when I heard that voice, everything I'd ever done wrong in my life flashed across like my memory. And I knew all those times I was making bad decisions, that I was disappointing the person on the person on the cross, or the voice that I heard. And I cried for about 30 minutes because it was just I just felt so bad about what I'd been doing and how I'd been living my life. And then after I stopped crying, I said, Lord, and I didn't know anything about Lord. I didn't understand all that. I said, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for you. And everything changed at that moment. I no longer wanted to cuss people out. I no longer wanted to. Now, I'm not, please understand, I was a nightclub person. I loved going to the clubs. I loved hanging out in places to where the potential for bad things to happen would take place. I gravitated to those places. But I no longer wanted to do that. I no longer wanted to sit in a concert or go to a show or something where the language is just vulgar. It's just like just swearing and cursing and just anger, and I just didn't want that anymore. I just wanted to just please this person who did this for me. That's all I wanted to do. And so that's what led me to put my faith in Christ, if that answers the question. Wow, that's a lot. But wow, that's good. That's wow. Okay. Well, tell us about your family. You know, tell us about your family, evangelism, your first, have you been on any missions trips, things like that. Well, family, well, I grew up, mom and dad been married for, well, let's start with my parents. Got married in, 1969, so they've been married. It'll be 50 years this year. I got one brother, no sisters. I probably got about 2 million first cousins because I come from a large family. My grandmother, as far as, you know, she had 9 living children. And so that was an era where, you know, you had a lot of children in the family. Not to say that it doesn't happen now. It's just not as prevalent. So come from a very, very large family. When I was 26, I got 26. I got married. That lasted about 2 years. I was young and just didn't understand stuff, just didn't know stuff. And so about 2 years later, divorced, but out of that marriage, had one son who's now, he's 21, Daryl Hikes Jr. And then, let's see, after divorce, just kind of, you know, living life. I went on a missions trip to the Philippines. It was awesome. You know, got to experience some great things, and, you know, got to pray with over 250 children, you know, as far as I'm not going to necessarily say I'd led them to Christ. Some of them I did, some of them I didn't, but got to pray for them, got to actually speak in front of people, got to lay hands on sick people and watch them get healed right there on the spot. I mean, some great things have happened. And then I went about, six, seven years of just focusing in on the things of God, you know, making sure I had that intimate relationship with Jesus. Because when you go through something traumatic or devastating, such as a divorce or something like that, you know, you have to go back and evaluate yourself, your life, and, you know, what you're doing. And make your singleness a purpose is to please, meet the needs of the people, and to please Jesus. That's the life of a Christian. You know, that's the lifestyle, behavior, manner of lifestyle. That's how it works. So, and then as far as the evangelism part, well, let's go back to my family. I'm married to my wife is Tamika Hikes, and we've been married. It was just 10 years in November. Wonderful lady, prayer warrior, you know, knows how to pray and get results. Just a It's just great. And I call it my final marriage because you can't go into stuff talking about my second marriage because there's a potential for a third or a fourth or a fifth. You know, I just say my final because you have to make a decision. Is this it or is this not it? You just, you know, and that's just how I live my life. Let's see. Family, the evangelism. Oh, the evangelism part. It was probably about 2002, and I told God, I said, look, if I believe I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and so I said, this is what I'm going to do. I had $140 in the bank. I said, I'm going to take $136 and buy a bus ticket, and I'm only going to take my Bible and some identification, my driver's license. So I took the Bible and my identification. I got on the bus. And I said, if you can get me from Tucson, Arizona, to Atlanta, Georgia, and back, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Which, you know, I should be willing to do whatever he tells me to do anyway. But at that point in my life, I didn't. You know, you don't think like that at certain stages in your life. It's like a baby doesn't think, hey, I need this particular kind of formula versus that particular formula. They don't think like that. So I was a babe in Christ. So I wasn't a babe. I was just only like 5 years into it. You know, it just depends on. But I told him, I said, you can get me back. So get on the bus. I'm on the way to El Paso. Talking to some people on the bus. They asked me, you know, where you're headed, and just talking. I said, I told them what I was doing. They go in their pocket. They say, here's some money. They gave me like $5. But then they paid for my food. So I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting. Then I get to Atlanta, and I call the cousin, and I say, hey, look, I'm in Atlanta. Can I stay with you? So she picks me up. She's like, where are your bags? Well, I didn't bring any. I explain to her what I'm doing. She shakes her head like, this boy didn't lost it. But I stay with her. And then I meet some guys from World Changers Church International, and I tell them what I'm doing. They take me out to Big Daddy's restaurant. They feed me. One of the guys gives me a $50 bill. So now I have money to go buy me some church clothes and, you know, look nice and things like that. So I go to church, and then my cousin says, well, you got to get back to Atlanta. I got a friend who can get you a buddy pass. So I get a buddy pass, fly back to fly back to Tucson. I get to Phoenix, Arizona, because the buddy pass took me to Phoenix versus Tucson, and it's about an hour, at that time, about an hour and a half away. So I get off the plane. It's about 11 o'clock at night, about 10, actually 40. And the last shuttle going from Phoenix to Tucson leaves in about 10 minutes. So I get off the plane. I get there. I ask the guy, how much is it? He tells me how much it is. I think it's like, at the time, it was like $20. So I think I had $30. So I give him the 20, drive down there. The bus depot, the place where the van stops is about 4 or 5 miles from where my apartment was. So I had to catch a cab. So I catch the cab. The cab is something like $9.98. So I get back to my apartment, and I've got like 2 cents left, but God did what he said he would do. So that's why I made the decision that I'm going to travel and evangelize. And actually, I have a relative. She's my aunt. She's the one that licensed me as an evangelist because she recognized, you know, a calling on my life. Because at the time, I was just traveling and just preaching. That's all I was doing. So if that answers your question, that does. Wow. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate you. We're going to pray because we got about 30 seconds left in the show. Once again, thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing. You're welcome. All right, folks, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's the day. The Bible is clear. If you believe on him, you get accepted into the family. So if you believe that Jesus took care of everything for you, repeat this after me. Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you into my heart. I'm now a part of the family. I choose to live my life for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. You're now born again. We'll talk next time. Bye-bye.